This is Totally Cool Tech, the show that brings you the hottest in cool technology. No matter if it's old school or new school, high tech or low tech, it's all still cool tech. Welcome, everybody. This is Totally Cool Tech Podcast Edition number 518, The Return, for Sunday, April 17th, 2011. I'm Norbert Davis, your host. Today's episode is brought to you by GoToMeeting. For the best online meeting application, use GoToMeeting. All right. If there were any reports out there, which I don't know, about me pod fading, they are greatly exaggerated. I'm sorry for having been gone for so long. You know, it was nothing intentional nor enjoyable. As I've talked about in my previous podcast, which was like, gosh, you know, a month and a half ago, I've been working for my parent company down in Southern California for about 9 weeks, really. And, you know, it just dominated my time, both professionally and personally. But now, you know, I'm back home, back in my normal job, doing my normal routine, things like that. So, you know, I'm catching up on almost everything here at work and now at home, and I'm able to finally get back to the fun that is podcasting. Now, I've been working on a few other things around here as far as, you know, on another project here for the studio here at NorbTech Studios. I have a video edition of Totally Cool Tech that I'm trying to do. I've been working hard on the physical studio as well as trying to come up with a virtual studio as well. What am I talking about? Well, just stay tuned. You know, I'm still working on it, and since I hate to bust out something without driving around the block a few times, see how it handles, it might be another couple of weeks before I get this thing out. So when it goes live, I'll let you guys know. I'll probably even let you in on a few tests. I'll probably put out a couple video tests and all that so you can see it. If you want to even look at that thing. I still have, like I said, some testing to do, some things. I got a couple buddies that are going to help me out, and because they're doing the things right, and I'm trying to learn from them. I don't want to waste a lot of time trying, you know, reinvent the wheel when it's already been done. So, because I tend to do that a lot. I try and overthink things sometimes. Anyway, that's what's been going on. So, all right. Totally Cool Tech is a proud member of the techpodcasts.com network, and we're also on the blueberry.com podcast community where podcasters and listeners all come together. That's Blueberry, spelled B-L-U-B-R-R-Y. Now, I want you to go check out that site, both of those sites, for really great podcasts. Looking for tech? Go to Tech Podcasts. Looking for anything else, including some tech? Go to Blueberry. We've got tons of stuff. Great, great content out there. All right. We are finally sponsored again. I am proud to say we are sponsored again by Citrix and GoToMeeting. I'm telling you what, meetings are an essential part of any business, and even in mine, I use it a lot. You know, whether you need to present to clients, you're collaborating with colleagues, it doesn't matter giving a presentation or you're giving a tutorial, you know, lessons, whatever. We do it all the time in my company. You can make these things simple as possible. It's easy to run, easy to organize. Use GoToMeeting. It's by Citrix. It's the easiest, most reliable online meeting service there is. With GoToMeeting, you can schedule an online meeting in seconds, email it to everybody. Attendees can join with just a click from anywhere. It doesn't matter. You can be talking to three or four different places, you know, to groups or even individuals. They can be at their cube, or they can be in a conference room listening in. Doesn't matter. It's really, really cool. Now, meeting materials can be viewed on everyone's screen, make collaborating seamless. GoToMeeting is easy to use for you and everyone joining the meeting. Plus, with GoToMeeting, hold as many meetings as you want for one flat rate, and that includes phone conferencing and voice over IP. All included, one price, flat rate. For just the cost of a rental car, you know, you could pay for a whole month of GoToMeeting. Now, I use it at work because I have things that, you know, I can't go flying everywhere. All right. You know, I already spent a lot of time flying to LA. Don't want to go everywhere. I can do this from my house, from my company's main office, wherever. Doesn't matter. I can start it, stop it, go anywhere. I can be in LA in 10 minutes. On GoToMeeting. I can be in New York and Chicago all at the same time. Doesn't matter. All right. Now, my listeners, you guys, can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. That's a whole month of unlimited online meetings free. Just visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and enter the promo code PODCAST. That's GoToMeeting.com, promo code PODCAST. All right, on this episode of Totally Cool Tech, we have, first up, a hybrid light bulb from GE. What is it? Is it a little electric light bulb? Well, they're all electric, aren't they? No. Well, it is, but it's a hybrid. It's not your standard CFL, when it's a compact fluorescent light bulb. It is awesome. It is, not only is it a compact fluorescent, but it's also a halogen. Why? Because when you first turn on a compact fluorescent, they're not that bright right away. And, you know, when you turn the lights on, you want it, bam, bright, right then and there. You want that light. No matter if it's, you know, 40 watts, 60 watts, 100 watts, it doesn't matter. You want it right then and there. You need it right then and there most of the time, right? You know, I go outside, throw away my trash, turn on the light. It's a compact fluorescent, so it takes a little while to fire up. Well, you know, at 11 o'clock at night, I'm throwing away some trash. It doesn't really help me because it takes a while to fire up. I should leave it on all the time, but, you know, that's a waste of energy too. Okay, well, GE came up with a halogen and mixed with the compact fluorescent, but it's all inside a normal, standard, incandescent-shaped bulb. It's really cool. So what happens is when you turn it on, the halogen comes on right away. It gives you that bright light that you want right off the bat. Then once the compact fluorescent, comes up to speed and gets its glow going finally, it's all warmed up, then the halogen shuts off. That is pretty cool. So it's very, very power efficient in that way. Doesn't use a whole lot of wattage. Finally, once the compact fluorescent's running fine at its full output, it's putting out the same amount of light that you wanted right off the bat. So, really cool. And that's only going to go for like $6 to $10, depending on, of course, the wattage that you're looking for. Pretty cool. And that's, yeah, like I said, from GE. Found that via Tree Hugger. Pretty cool. All right, here's another one. I actually found out about this at work. I am one of the trade subscriptions that I have started mentioning this. It's the Open Source Data Center. And this is actually a Facebook thing. And I got this link via Scobalizer because he went out to the Facebook data center out in Oregon. And let me bring that up. There it is. And he was actually able to take a tour. He did a photo tour of this, and it's in Prineville, Oregon. And it's kind of like in a high desert area or a desert kind of environment, which you really wouldn't think about Oregon being that way, but it is kind of, it's very dry. And he used an iPhone 4 to go ahead and take these photos, which is really, really cool. And he got a really special tour of this place. Now, Facebook is getting down to, well, I don't know if they're getting down to, but they're going to have two of these open source data centers. And you really have to, they have to be in a special area to take advantage of the unique cooling system for this. And what it is they're using ambient air, outside air, to cool their data center. And it's not a revolutionary. Basically, you're taking air, passing it through some misting, and so it's like a kind of swamp cooler system where they mist the air, which it cools it down, and then they go ahead and remove the moisture, which, yeah, kind of seems a little silly there, but it really helps cool down the air. It's very efficient. They take that, they run it through a set of filters, and then they go ahead and they drop all that cool air right into the cold aisle of the whole, you know, data center rack setup. And from there, you know, passes through all the servers, and then it goes into the hot aisle and is pulled out. Now, instead of using chilled water and or a DX type of unit and things like that, really expensive, high energy drawing equipment to cool the air and recirculate the air and take the hot air that they just took off the servers and try and cool it back down. They found out that it's more efficient to use just outside air, cool that air, if it's not already cool enough as it is, and then dump it in. And that's why they went to a desert area, because they could use that that moisture, the misting of the air, to help cool things down. And plus the location of where Pineville, Oregon is, it does have some pretty cool air most of the time. It does get up around 110, but still, they can use, you know, the misting to cool the air down. This is like 38% more efficient than the standards that the HVAC industry is saying that you need to be at, which, you know, it's not the best, but it's, you know, pretty good, those standards. So they're 38% better net, plus it's saving them 24% in operating costs. And when you're talking 50 million, you know, 20 to 50 million, depending on your data center size, per year to run that place, which is mainly energy costs, that's a big savings. You can save 24%. That's huge. So, Robert Scoble got to do a nice tour. I've got a link to his stuff because it's really, really cool. And the biggest thing about this is that Facebook isn't taking all this technology, which it isn't really high technology. It's simple HVAC technology, and they're making it open source. They're telling you exactly what they did, how they did it, everything about it. They also developed with some of the manufacturers a better server, better blade servers, better power supplies, all sorts of really interesting stuff. They're using low voltage LED lighting, and they're using battery backup for DC power to power everything in case of, you know, an emergency. Now, they do have generators and things like that in case power goes out and so forth. But it's really, really cool what Facebook is doing with this, and it's all open source. So if you want any more information on that, you know, let me know, email me, and I'll give you the link to all the stuff that I have. But it's pretty cool. There's a lot of stuff on his site here that you can get just about anything you really need. And, really, really, really cool. Literally. So, all right. What didn't we have next? Oh yeah. I found for all you Trekkies out there, I think that Gene Roddenberry and with Star Trek invented so many, bits of technology. He had such an insight, a foresight, in that show, that a lot of the stuff that we have now that we take for granted, it was invented then, you know. Let's just take the flip phone right now. Okay. The communicator in Star Trek back in the 60s, you know, that was the flip phone, because, you know, everybody had to flip open their phone. You had to flip open that communicator, which the flip thing went up was the antenna on that. But, our flip phones look like that, our cell phones. And Uhura had that little thing she put in her ear. I'm telling you what, that was a Bluetooth piece. Because whenever she wanted to contact anybody, she put that thing in her ear, you know, and all of a sudden she's contacting everyone out in space. Well, the people over at Earlooms have a Star Trek Bluetooth device that you can get, $60. Looks really cool. It's a licensed Bluetooth unit. And the people over at Earlooms, they do a lot of stylization of their Bluetooth units. They're all the same price. They all do the exact same thing. Every single one of them has a little different artistic flair to it. This one has got the new Star Trek logo on it. Pretty darn cool. So if you're a fan of Star Trek, or again, a couple of other movies, and there's a bunch of Star Wars, and there's some cartoons, and there's some other kind of artwork. They're all the same price. Really, really nice. Now, some of the neat things about this is you can get a replacement earbud end pieces, and there's the ear loops that go over these things, which is actually pretty cool, because they have, not only do they have a black one, you know, standard style black one, they have a clear one, which kind of actually hides the fact that you have an ear loop on. Thought that was really cool. And you can get that for like $7 for replacement parts, which, you know, those are the things that break. And I had a really expensive Bluetooth unit. One of my Bluetooths that I bought after a while. I'm like, I want a really good Bluetooth. Bought this really expensive Jawbone, right? Yeah. Well, no, the metal pieces, the ear loop pieces kept breaking. And I'm like, well, what's it going to cost to get these new ones? It's going to cost an arm and a leg almost. I'm like, forget that. And that's why I went with a visor, Bluetooth visor, because I only need it in the car. I don't need to walk around with a Bluetooth thing on my head all the time, which in my opinion only, if you walk around with a Bluetooth all the time, you're looking silly, okay? You really look silly. You should only use it in the car for the most part. I mean, if you're me, I don't know, if you're doing some other things where you need hands-free, I can understand it. But if you're in an office walking around, you know, you look silly walking down an aisle, even in the grocery store. You look like you're psycho talking to somebody, you know, like you're seeing things and talking to people. Anyway, pretty cool stuff over there at Heirlooms. Next one up, we have the Hacked High Tech Pinewood Derby car. This is really cool. It's a YouTube video. And what it was, let me find this here. I don't want it to start playing right there. Oh, there we go. Stop that. This Pinewood Derby race car has an onboard video camera. And it's really cool. And not only does it have a video camera, but if you can hear, had a microphone. That was sweet. What the guy, and I don't know if it was his, I'm presuming it's his son because it's Pinewood Derby's Boy Scouts, Cub Scouts. They gutted a Barbie video girl doll. And they mounted that camera, which weighs about a half an ounce or so, on the car. And they actually had to put some extra weight on there to get that thing up to the regulation weight, which is good. And I guess it had a light on it, too. That's really cool because for the first time ever, you can see what it would be like if you were able to be a race car driver in a Pinewood Derby race. Pretty cool. They didn't win, but I thought this was a great hack and a pretty geeky thing to do. I mean, how many people have a video camera mounted to their Pinewood Derby car? This is really cool. So check that out. I thought that was a great little, you know, do something geeky with your kid type thing and a nice little hack there. I enjoyed it. All right. The next thing we have up, kind of going a little bit more high tech, is Kohler is putting out a brand new toilet. It's going to be coming out in the fall of 2011 here, and it has a touch screen remote. Now, the price on this puppy is a mere $64,000. It's going to cost more than your car. Of course, it does a few things a little differently than what your car would do, and some of the same things. You got a heated seat in your car? For $64,000, I bet you would. Well, this toilet will have a heated seat as well. It'll also heat your feet. It's got a little heater, a little hot air. It'll push out underneath the unit and heat your feet up in the morning there or if it's a cold area. And I'm telling you what, this thing is actually pretty slick. It does a lot of different things. It's got a bidet built into it. You can flush it remotely with the touchscreen remote. I wouldn't use a touchscreen remote for anything else but that. You're still going to need, you know, to do the paperwork. Well, I guess you don't. Not with a bidet, but anyway. Just saying, $64,000. This is the most high-tech toilet I've ever seen. And they got a neat little video. You can go check that out at the site. But yeah. Would you pay $64,000 for a toilet? I don't think so. Anyway, how many people are going to actually buy that? Rich people are going to buy that just to say they have it. That's it. And what happens if you drop the remote in? I'm just saying, just putting that out there. All right. Hey, check this out. There is a real laser pistol. Somebody made this, and where did it go? I had it. Yeah, it's a real working laser pistol. Patrick Priebe, a German hacker who sometimes is very good with tools, constructed a handheld pulse laser pistol. It fires off a milliwatt blast of infrared light can't be megawatt. Maybe it is. Through a NDYAG laser. I don't know what that is. There's a YouTube video. You can check it out. You can see the effectiveness of this handheld laser pistol. It really, really works. It's really slick. I watched it. I thought that was probably one of the coolest things I'd seen in a while, from a laser. And yeah, it's amazing what some people can do. And it's really, really cool. So you gotta check that out. Let me know what you think. I mean, it's not a laser pointer. It's a laser pistol. It actually burns some holes. So check that out. I thought it was really, really slick. All right. Oh, gotta love when geeks just start going wild. You know, get a little hair going there, and then they got to build something, and they come up with a laser pistol. We're getting closer and closer to Star Wars and Star Trek. I'm telling you what, it's going to be cool. Next thing up here. When I went traveling, one of the biggest problems I had was I needed to charge things up. And a lot of the things I needed, you know, I could charge with USB. So I needed to plug my USB charger thing into the wall and then plug the USB in, right? Well, you either got to pull something out of the wall or plug that thing in. And, you know, luckily if you can find an open one. Well, what if all the sockets are taken up? Well, you can't, you know, and everything has to be back in there. Everything has to stay in there. Well, there's this cool little flip-it USB charger. And I thought this was really, really slick. You throw it in your travel bag, right? And it has this little flip-out piece that... it looks like a socket receptacle. And a cool thing is, you rotate that thing out, and it'll handle three prongs, but you flip that thing out, you unplug something, you put this up against there, and you plug through it. Now, what it is, it's plastic, but embedded in that plastic just some metal sleeves inside that plastic and those openings to where when you plug the other device back in, it makes contact and it acts like, it's like jumper cables, I guess you would call it, or an extra plug or something. It actually gets the power as well. So it kind of piggybacks on top of the plug that you're plugging into the receptacle. Pretty smart idea. I love that. So if, say you got a full power strip, but you need to have a USB charger device on there, throw this on and you're golden. And if you're like me, when you traveled, pretty much every single socket's been taken up by the people at the hotel with lights or TVs or the radio or whatever. You got to unplug something to plug this in. This solves that problem. You have extra plugs. You can plug in everything you need and you can still get your USB charger going. I love it. And the great thing, it's only $16. Come on, that is cool tech right there, all right? That is good travel tech. All right. And that's over at Ideative. Anyway. It's got a weird name place, but hey, it's a cool device. They got some other cool stuff there. Check it out. They got some other good power things. Here's one I found over at Hacked Gadgets. I thought this was really cool. I've been kind of looking at, FIRST, which is, you know, Dean Kamen's, you know, robotics technology thing. I've read a couple of, articles of late where some kids got locked out of their FIRST competition, class and all that, their robotics class, because school had a problem with them or their coach or whatever, their administrator had to leave or stop, whatever. So the school took everything, their funds, everything. And that there's not a lot of, you know, robotics classes that are, you know, out there. And in this economy, I can see where, you know, some of the school districts are like, hey, we can't fund this anymore. You guys, you're losing everything. Well, there's these teenagers from the school and they went ahead and they built a robotic lock cracker and it would crack a master lock combination lock. It's really, really cool. And this is over at Hack Gadgets. And these four kids, let's see, where they used a PIC, which was required to interface several hardware components, and they cracked open a master lock. And they used a stepper motor to turn things, you know, clockwise and counterclockwise. And it just so cool. I really can't even describe it. I mean, they've got a couple things going on there. You've got to see this. It's got a YouTube video attached to it. And what they have, they said with 40 numbers on the combination lock, approximately 9 degrees of separation exists between each number. So each number on the lock is traversed by 5 steps from their motor. And that was really cool. I mean, they had to do a lot of engineering to figure out how much they're going to, you know, turn this and spin this and all this. And they used a PIC microcontroller and programmed it to do everything, which is basically, you know, turn the lock and then check it. And then if it didn't work, turn it again, check it. It didn't work, turn it again and check it. But they had an algorithm to get this done. And I can't remember, I read somewhere about how fast they were able to do some of this stuff. And really, really cool. But I thought it was pretty cool. You know, 4 kids, 3 of them were girls. Okay? That is the cool thing. 3 of them were girls. This is just awesome. And you've got to check that out. All right, what else we got? Oh, yeah. I found this over at Tech eBlog. I love that place. I love Tech eBlog. And I ran across this is how to make awesome paper airplanes. Flying origami. You gotta love that stuff. They've got, oh man, how many did they have there? I want to say 10 different ones that you could build. 12 different ones that you can build, and they have a video for most of them. You can go ahead and check that out. There's the Omniwing paper airplane. What else was there? The Fata? I don't know. That's written in German, I think. But still, pretty darn cool. I used to love making paper airplanes. I bought my son a book on making paper airplanes. Came with some printed paper. Has a lot of cool designs on it. And you can go ahead and, you know, gave him all the how-tos of how to fold it and all that step by step. And this does it as well. And these are some of the best paper airplane designs ever. You got some of the classics. And then you got some of these really interesting ones too. Kind of like a mono wing. It just looks like a flying wing. Those were really good in school. All right, and what do we have last? Oh, yeah, found this over at one of my favorite places to go. This is the Intelligent Tabletop Grill. I found this over at my buddy's podcast and his website, The Caffeination, Paul Muller, Paul R.J. Muller. And he found this actually at Hammacher Schlemmer, which is one of my favorite places to check out for gadgets and things like that. They got the coolest stuff. Now, kind of expensive, but darn cool. And it's the Intelligent Tabletop Grill. It's like a George Foreman on steroids, okay? And the thing costs like $500, but this is really geeky. It doesn't take any of the fun, you know, out of it. I think it's kind of puts the fun in because you're not having to sit there and watch the grill all the time. It'll watch things for you. It's really, really cool. And it automatically cooks the food to your preferred level of doneness. Now, it has a keypad and an LED screen to allow you to put in the, you know, the type of food, the cut, the thickness, and the preferred internal temperature. Now, using this information, the grill automatically chimes when it has reached the ideal cooking temperature. That's when it's time to flip the food. And when the cooking is complete, the grill's stainless steel grates, which have an integrated electric heating element that produce the powerful direct heat of up to 650, It'll do it in 3 minutes. And the heat coils below the grates produce even radiant heat. You know, nice, even radiant heat. That is so awesome. So you kind of get that grilled, charred, you know, marking on your meat, you know, as well as a radiant heat like you would get from a regular charcoal barbecue. That is awesome. Now, it's not that big. It's only 216 square inches of cooking surface, which accommodates about 8 ounce fillets, eight ounce fillets. And the grill can also be controlled manually or remotely. That is so cool. You know, it uses 120 volts AC power, but it is really cool. Thing weighs like almost 40 pounds. It's about 22 inches wide, about 11 and a half inches tall, and about 20 inches deep. Really, really cool. So check that out. It's over at the Hammacher Schlemmer. I'll have a link in it for the whole thing. Go check out Paul's website, Caffeination Podcast. You're going to love that. He's got all sorts of food, caffeinated bits, tech, all that. And great, great show over there. So he's got a lot of great articles that he puts out every week. And God, I just love Paul's site. So if you have a chance, go over there, check him out. He's one of the other members, one of the other great members over at techpodcasts.com. And I think you'll enjoy listening to his stuff. So, all right, that is going to be it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening to the Totally Cool Tech Podcast Edition. No matter if it's if you're listening to us, you know, on a content delivery box like the Roku, Boxy, Google TV, or you're getting us through like a service like Stitcher Radio on your phone. You're listening to us on iTunes, Zune, any other podcatcher, Sansa Clip Player, I don't care, whatever, or just a website player. Listen, I really appreciate it, and I'm so thankful to you for sticking with me over these past couple of weeks where I haven't been podcasting. I really apologize. I'm trying to get back into it. It will be weekly again, and I am working on a video edition. It'll probably come out once a week, a little five-minute thing, and we'll go over like one, maybe two things or whatever. So we'll see how that goes. And I'm having some fun trying to do this because, unfortunately, I want to do it right, at least what I consider right and perfect, which is sometimes a problem. Sometimes I just need to go with it. But I'm working on it. Almost there. So hang on for that. You're going to like it. I'll probably put out a few test videos to see how you like it. See what you think. Get some feedback from you. So, all right. Now, hey, if you like the show, and I really hope you do, I think you do, please recommend us to a friend. I appreciate it. You know, word of mouth is the best way for me to get any kind of increase in listenership, and you guys are the best PR for me that is out there. So, now, all the show notes and links and contact info are on the website at totallycooltech.com. And if you know about some cool tech you think we should be talking about on the show, let me know about it. Email me. Tell me. Send me an email, audio comment, Twitter, Facebook. It's all out there. Hit me up. I appreciate it. I really, really do. And hey, if you want to do something, you know, do a little review or something, talk about a piece of technology or tech or whatever out there, send it in to me. Send it in to Totally Cool Tech, tctpodcast@gmail.com. Send that in, keep it clean, and we'll put it on the air. How's that? Give you a little credit on that. All right, everybody, that is going to be it. I will see you next time.